you know, at each of the campuses, they all work on servers. There are servers at each of the campuses that help keep everybody connected. They help to send emails back and forth. In fact, most of our days, and probably you have servers where you work, I'm guessing, as well. And you know it's a bad day when the server goes down. I have been at work, and we all just kind of look at each other like, what are we going to do? I mean, we got rid of all the pigeons, so we can't email that way. But you know, we depend on servers to keep us connected and to do the work that we need to do. You know, God is looking for servers to keep us connected and to do the work that we need to do, that God wants us to do. God is looking for people whose hearts are aligned that will be servers in the kingdom. There are too many Christians that don't serve, and that's like going to our workplace and the server is down. It makes the work difficult. Amen? The first point I want to share with you this morning is we were saved to serve. We were saved to serve. There was a reason and a purpose. The Bible, from cover to cover, if you don't know this, I'm going to help you. From cover to cover, this is God's salvation plan for you and I. You find Jesus in the very beginning. You'll find Jesus at the very end. It is about Jesus who came to give his life for you, to save you, to give you redemption, to purchase you, to save you. And we were saved to serve. Saved to serve. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, verse 9, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we have been saved to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is an expectation that we understand that we were saved to serve. You know, Jesus didn't just save us so that we could hang out with him in heaven. Because if that were the case, we'd be there now. Think about that. Once you got saved, if the whole point was to save you so that all of eternity you'd be with him, yes, that is an important part of the salvation. But guess what? He saved you and we have work to do now. We were given salvations. We were given salvation so that we would serve others. You know, while I was at the Navy base in Newport, I signed up to be there. And a lot of others signed up to be there. But I noticed that there were some men and women who were in the barracks, and they were never leaving the barracks. They had to wear their uniforms. They were in the barracks. They could go to chow, but they had to come back. And I finally stopped and asked, because I didn't see them PTing. I didn't see them going to class. And I stopped and I said, hey, who are y'all with? Are y'all with OCS, or what are y'all doing? He said, well, I got here, and I just decided this wasn't for me. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I said, well, why don't you leave? He said, well, I can't, because I signed up for it, and it takes a long time. I have to wait for my class to finish, which is a 12-week program for active duty. And he said, but that ended last month, and I'm still waiting for them to out-process me. I mean, as I said, wait, you have to stay here until the Navy releases you? I said, why didn't you just finish the course? He said, well, I just decided I didn't want to. And then I noticed there were several others that were there. And it kind of broke my heart for them, because that's a miserable existence, to have to wear the uniform, to be sitting in the barracks, to be looking the part, but you have decided not to do what you signed up for. And then it began, I began to think, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of Christians in the United States that are wearing the uniform. They signed up for it. They go to chow. They look the part, but they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing because they've decided not to. Let me tell you, we have been saved to serve. This is what we signed up for. By accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are putting on his righteousness, right? We have become his righteousness, and our job is to go and serve. Man, we need Christians that understand this very thing. We need to be looking for opportunities where we can roll up our sleeves and get in. We have to go into the fight. We have to engage the dying world outside of these four walls. Amen? So we are saved to serve. So not only are we saved, we are gifted to serve. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." 1 Peter 4:10 says this, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." You know what this means is you are gifted. You say, well, I can't sing. I can't preach. I'm not good. In fact, I don't even like people. That might be true, but you are gifted to serve. I came across a story this week. In 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10. Has anybody ever heard of Pioneer 10? Here's what's crazy. The satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet and its moons, and beam down data to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, radiation belts, and atmosphere. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan. Nothing like this had ever been done. No satellite had ever gone beyond Mars at that time in 1972, and they feared the asteroid belt would actually destroy it before it ever got there. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much, much more. Swinging past the giant planet in November 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a much higher rate of speed towards the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn and began sending information about the planet Saturn. At some 2 billion miles, it hurled past Uranus, taking photographs, viewing the moons, sending information about Uranus. Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto at almost 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite the immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists on Earth. But here is the most amazing part. Perhaps the most remarkable, those signals emanated from an 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight and takes more than 9 hours for one signal to reach Earth. The little satellite that could was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of just 3 years. But it kept going and going. By simple longevity, its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone thought possible. So it is when we offer ourselves to serve the Lord. God can work even when all we have is an 8-watt battery. God can take a mission that was not even designed to really be that successful. And he can not only take your 3-year mission and make it a much more 25-year deal, doing more than you ever thought you ever could. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he has gifted us to serve the body of Christ. You may not think that you have it, but God wants to use it. You may not think that you're very good at anything, but God's saying, I can use you. Let me tell you, I was standing there in Newport and I thought, man, what can I do? I'm here for 2 weeks. These guys are here active duty. But you know what? What I can do is I am a chaplain in the United States Navy. And I saw guys that were frustrated. I saw guys that were struggling. And what I can do is the reserve component is I can come up to them and say, hey, stay motivated. Keep going. Let me tell you. And they say, why are you so excited? Why are you so happy? Man, I got Jesus inside of me. I may not be that guy that can lead from the helm an aircraft carrier. I may not ever be able to stand on a battleship and do some amazing stuff, launching missiles that go everywhere. But what I can do is I can be a chaplain to the sailors and the men and women of our armed forces, and I can encourage them and I can tell them about Jesus. And let me tell you, God has positioned you in your workplace and in your families to do something. He's gifted you, and he wants you to take your little 8-watt transmitter and do amazing things. God has gifted us to serve. The next thing is we're saved to serve, we're gifted to serve. We are needed to serve. Some people say, hey, you know what? There's a lot of people. Look around you. But Chris, some of you can find somebody here. Y'all need auditions? How about on that side of the room? Somebody can sing. You know, y'all need people to call people. Yes, somebody over there should be able to call somebody. Everybody's got a phone these days. There are lots of people, but the body of Christ needs you. We're needed to serve. A thought is this: if you do not serve, the kingdom of God is missing out on your giftings that God's uniquely given you. Ephesians 4:16 says this: from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, it would be something for a ligament to say, well, I want it to be a bicep. Maybe a calf muscle. Maybe one of those six-pack muscles or a pectoral muscle. I want to look good. But you know what? Not a single one of those muscles is able to do what it does without ligaments. Well, I wanted to be a right hand. Well, God made you an ear. I wanted to be a kneecap. You're a nose. But you know, a body does not function without all of those things. Have you ever broken an arm or lost some ability? You learn very quickly how much you depend on it. I once hit my thumb with a hammer. Yeah, it's always the left one because I'm right-handed. I've hit that thumb at least 7 times. I didn't realize how much I love my left thumb until it's swollen and purple and you lose that nail. How much I love that nail. The body of Christ needs you. You may be a thumbnail, but let me tell you, you are very important to functioning. Try to get in your car without your left thumb. It's impossible. You cannot buckle your seatbelt without your left thumb. We are needed to serve because God has uniquely gifted each and every one of us. And if you choose to sit on the sidelines, you are depriving the body of Christ from the very gift that God has given you. We're needed to serve. We're saved to serve. We're gifted to serve. We're needed to serve. And let me tell you, we are expected to serve. God expects us to do something with what he gave us, to serve. But what can I do? Recently, we changed the locks on the doors in the front of the church. And so I took a master key and I went to Lowe's and they made a bunch of keys for me. But you know what was weird is we got like 20 keys and all of them seemed to work. But could you imagine if one of them came back and didn't work? He said, you know what, fellas, the 20 of us, we're hanging around. There's plenty of keys. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just not going to work. How useful would that key be if it didn't work? Of course, it's nothing. You know what we would do with it? We would throw it away. In fact, we had that very problem. Somebody tried to open and the key just wouldn't open the door. That key did not last long because we had no need for a key that doesn't work. That's the same thing with us, guys. We are expected to serve. There's not much use for somebody who is saved to serve, gifted to serve, expected to serve, and is not serving. Because if that's the very case, that Jesus came to die for us so that we could then go and be activated in the body of Christ, showing them the love of Christ and encouraging them and saying, hey, let me show you, let me disciple you, let me encourage you. If we're not doing that, we're kind of like that key that's just not working. We are expected to serve. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this: now it is required. It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Come on, Pastor, you just got back. Why are you hitting us so hard this morning? Romans 4:12 says this: so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. I don't know about you, but in most cases where I'm expected to do something, if there's an expectation, somebody's going to check to make sure it gets done. So this is a sobering thought that one day we will be standing before the King of Kings in his presence and saying, Lord, I did this for you. What will you have to show him? There will be given an account of the things that we do. We're saved, we're gifted, we're needed, we're expected to serve. And let me share this: we are blessed to serve. You know, there is a joy that comes when you walk in obedience. When you got your sleeves rolled up and you're sweaty and you're doing the work of whatever, there's just a certain joy that comes knowing, Lord, I know you know what I'm doing right now. Lord, I do this for you. Lord, I give you all the glory. There is a joy that you can't get from any other thing that comes when you are serving God. But I want to take it a step further. Let me tell you, a blessing that comes is knowing that more than anything, you are being Christ-like when you are serving. You know, Jesus could have come and done a lot of things. But you know what example he set was that of a servant. Jesus served. And when you're serving, you are being like Christ. And we are walking in and fulfilling the great title and the great name of being a Christian. Church, we need to be more Christ-like than we are. People should accuse us of being like Jesus. People should confuse us for being, isn't that Jesus? Could you imagine if we begin loving people and serving people so that people say, I see Jesus in you. The blessing that comes from serving is that we are acting like Jesus. Another blessing is that we see God at work. That's why when we go on mission trips, you know, we always plan for those people that we're going to. We always plan to be an encouragement to them. We always plan to equip them. We always plan to do the work of the ministry there. But you know what happens is somewhere, somehow, God does a work in us. And all of a sudden, what we had planned, God kind of like boomeranged back at us, and we're the ones ministered to. We're the ones encouraged, and we're the ones that's blessed. In every opportunity where you're serving, God has a unique way of working in us when we're being Christ-like in the joy of obedience of serving. We are blessed to serve. And you know what? It's not just there. We're going to get blessings in heaven too. You know, you might be serving right now and say, well, Chris, it's tough. Ain't nobody confused me for Jesus. In fact, nobody even knows what I'm doing. That's okay, but your Heavenly Father, He knows what you're doing. He sees the work that you're doing. He knows the frustration. He knows it. Let me tell you, people ask me all the time, hey, how's ministry? Man, ministry's great. It's the people that are a challenge. Man, look, we're a church full of people. Ain't nobody got it right in here. In fact, it's not because we've got it all figured out that we're here. We've got figured out that we need a Savior, right? We're broken people, broken vessels. And sometimes broken vessels break other vessels. People hurt people. And so when you engage in ministry, when you engage in serving, guess what? You're going to run across a crusty person. But your Heavenly Father, He knows the work that you're doing. And the Bible says that we will receive an inheritance, a reward. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. The Lord says, I see the work you're doing. The Bible says you will receive an inheritance and a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I heard a story one time. President Kennedy was going to visit NASA, and so he walked around, and this is the time of when we were, you know, fully engaged in the lunar program, and he was talking to different people, and he was saying, hey, what's your job here? What do you do? And I'm this, I'm that, I'm a rocket scientist, and this, that, and the other. And he came across one guy, he actually ran into the janitor, and he asked the janitor, he said, hey, what is it you do here? The janitor said, my job here is to help get people on the moon. You know, of all the people that Kennedy wrote about later in his life, all the rocket scientists and all the people that helped do some amazing things on the moon, it was the janitor that he wrote about. Because the janitor understood the mission. Sure, cleaning toilets isn't probably the most exciting thing in the world. But the janitor understood that his role helped in the greater mission, the greater purpose, which is to help run this facility, and this facility helps get people prepared, and these people get prepared to go on the moon. So the janitor understood that he was a part of getting a man on the moon. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that our roles are significant. You might be a toilet cleaner, but let me tell you, your job is to help the kingdom of God move forward in whatever capacity God has gifted you or equipped you. We just have to move. Ladies and gentlemen, we are gifted to serve. We are expected to serve. We are needed to serve. And we are blessed to serve. We need to consider more than we're doing to serve at a higher level.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.